Welcome to Life Together, a podcast for Gresham Bible Church, where we exist to glorify God in being disciples who make disciples of all people through the transforming power of the gospel. For this episode, we briefly explore the question, how do you share your testimony? Because being able to share your testimony is one key way we can live into what 1 Peter 3:15 says. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. So, whether you've written your testimony before and shared it numerous times, or maybe you've never shared your testimony before, this discussion should equip and encourage you with some healthy and helpful things to consider. As we seek to be a church full of members where the gospel is truly good news to us, so that we will be positioned to proclaim the gospel to others who desperately need it as well. Hey, Gresham Bible Church. For this week's podcast, we're going to have a discussion about how to share your testimony. So I know in my community group over these last few years and other community groups in the life of our church and just as members, there's been conversations and growth and wanting to be faithful in how we share our testimonies. Some Christians have never had the opportunity to take the time to write your testimony out or even to share it. So want this podcast episode just to be like a resource or a toolkit, a template to just help us make progress in how we share our testimony. So Jordan and I are going to bounce this around a little bit. Here's the entry point for the conversation. It's by no means exhaustive, but I'm going to read for us from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17, and then we're going to talk about sharing our testimony, the three core components of it, and that's life before you met Christ, when or how you met Christ, and then your life as a Christian afterwards. So let's start with 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I have received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome passage. Paul kind of gives us a template for our testimony, our story of becoming Christians. So let's talk about sharing our testimony before, how it happened, and then our after as Christians. And first, maybe some kind of high-level stuff, Jordan, in your life, in ministry to lots of people. What do you think are some of the keys to have in mind about sharing your testimony? Then we'll walk through it in those three ways.
Yeah, I think the big part is remember that it's Christ's story of what he's done in your life. Yes, we all have our own unique ways that we encountered him and came to faith in him, but ultimately the story is about him and what he's done. And I think that people who maybe have a hard time of talking about themselves or maybe could have, I don't want to say misguided, but just feel like, oh, I don't want the attention to be on myself. If you can have the right perspective and attitude of this isn't about you, it's ultimately about what Christ has done for you. I think that that can help those who maybe don't love talking about themselves as much to kind of get through that breakthrough. You're saying what Jesus did for you, and that's the best story you could share.
That's really good. I've loved over these last few years as kind of the norm or rhythm in our community groups is people sharing their testimonies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're all different, so it's going to be communicated in different ways, and we all have our own stories and backgrounds. It's been really interesting for me to hear that a lot of Christians have just never had the opportunity to spend that time like reflecting on your testimony and then writing it down. And the consistent theme has been how life-giving that is for people, as you just like, it's an exercise in seeing how God's worked in your life and then preparing to share it. So anyway, all that to say, if someone has never had the opportunity to write out your testimony, let alone share it, man, I hope by the time we're done in this conversation that people will see that as worthwhile for sure.
Come practice it with us. We'd love to hear your story yeah, exactly. of how Jesus changed you.
Yeah, man. Amen. And how about you and I talked about it real briefly before the podcast, but let's throw this out like as a category, right?
Yeah.
So I've heard people have told me this directly, like, yeah, that's great. I love a good testimony. But like the working presupposition there is like when it's a story of like you came to know Christ after a life of crime.
Right, right.
So what about for the Christian like me and like you that has a quote unquote boring testimony and like, oh, you know, I came to know Jesus when I was younger.
Yeah.
In a Christian home. Just what encouragements would you give for someone?
Yeah. You know, the first part you're saying here is our life before Christ. And I made a profession of faith when I was six. My dad was a pastor. My mom's dad was a pastor. His dad was a pastor. There was a legacy of faith in my family. And so I felt a long time like I had a boring testimony of I didn't really know what life was like outside of believing in God and following God. And it was actually my dear sister from another mister, Nicole LeBlond, serving with her in youth ministry at another church. I shared my testimony and I gave that preface at the beginning that, sorry, this is a boring testimony. And she kind of challenged me afterwards of, your testimony is the testimony I wish I had, because she went through I'm not speaking out of turn because she'd tell you this too. She went through a lot of difficult things growing up. And she said, that should be a great part of the blessing of God's life in your family. And she said, you still were saved from your sins, no matter what age that happened at. That's an incredible story. And that just really changed my perspective there of, yeah, it's not boring to be saved from damnation for our sins. It's Amen. Not boring that Jesus came and died on the cross for you, whether you believed at age 5 or age 50. Like, that's still the most incredible thing that God could do for someone, is to save anyone. And so, again, that kind of goes back to the first thing I said. It's ultimately, this is God's story of how he's worked in your life, not just you yourself. And so makes every testimony incredible, because God shouldn't save anyone, and yet he came to save those who believe.
Amen. I love it, brother. Amen. Yeah, there's no such thing as a boring testimony. And that's kind of implying like that we're thinking it's about us rather than him, because God's not boring.
No,
so there's no such thing as a boring testimony.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's just walk through it. I know a lot of people have probably thought about it in this way, but I find it really helpful and clarifying to keep it simple in regards to testimony. So maybe even if someone's listening to this, you know, have your Bible open next to you, be in 1 Timothy chapter 1, again, verses 12 through 17, kind of the pattern we see, like in verse 13 is kind of the life before someone meets Christ idea. And I would, you know, you would spend time if you're going to write it out, hey, who was I? What did I love? What did I value? By the time you're done writing your testimony, the weight of it should be more about Christ's work for you. But a key part in your own reflection and when you share your testimony is helping paint a picture for who were you before you met Christ. And my encouragement would be to you, whether you've written your testimony, shared it before or not, or maybe you've done it like 1,000 times, but I think it's worth thinking about before you met Christ, think about it through the lens of worship. Who or what were you worshiping by what you were doing or not doing? So what were you looking for your identity, for your happiness, for your approval, for your comfort? And then you can share, how did you view God before you met Christ? Were you looking for approval based on your performance to some sort of deity, right? Like, I'm a good person. Or were you like rebelling against that deity, or just so, you know, just about yourself that you were just living for the happiness of the moment? So yeah, tell your story. Don't be explicit about your sin.
Yeah.
But be honest about it.
Sure.
But in terms of, okay, why were you doing those things or not doing those things? Like, what was underneath that? That helps frame your testimony, how Scripture sees it, as we're all worshipers. So you were worshiping someone or something else for what before you met Christ.
That's good.
Yeah. Other thoughts, Jordan, for you when you're helping people?
I think that's good. I think for those who have the wrongfully said boring testimony that we just talked about, a way to approach that of, you know, what was I living for when I was six? I don't know, baseball cards and candy. but I don't know if I had a, you know, certainly if you make a profession when you're young, your understanding of God is going to grow and mature. I mean, it should it for anyone, no matter when you make a decision. So maybe you could frame it more, and this is what I do, is that even though I was blessed to grow up in a legacy of faith, my parents' faith didn't save me, that I had to come to a point of recognizing, even as a six-year-old, I still had sin. It may not be as quote-unquote serious as other sins. I was not a gang member at age six, but I disobeyed my parents and lied and was selfish. And, you know, that can feel like minor sins. But the point is that you're talking about how it's a decision for everyone. And so that can be an evangelistic opportunity. That's of good. Showing someone, just because you grew up a quote unquote Christian, it's not actually a thing for you until you make it your own decision, not just your parents' decision.
That's really good encouragement. And that's always true.
I stand at the door and knock. That's not a good verse. Someone in the office next to us is knocking hard if you hear this on the podcast.
What are they doing? All right. We will continue and ignore the noise in the background. So when you're thinking about your testimony, maybe think it in three chunks of, you know, before, when you met him, and after. In that before piece, no matter if you met Jesus at a young age or older in life, think through what was going on in your life. You're young, old, and we are persevering as we're continuing to hear knocking on the door next to us. So, yes. All right. Next. Not be distracted right now or anything. Next. When you met Christ. So again, our passage in 1 Timothy, look again at verses like 13 through 15, and then think about, when did you first hear the gospel? Mm. So God, man, Christ response. When did you first hear it? Sometimes someone believes it when they first hear it. Sometimes it takes like 20 times. But think through the first time you heard it, what your response was when you first heard it, and then focus in your own reflection and writing your testimony, then when you share it, on like who Christ is and what he's done. I found a helpful way to approach this is if you go to Colossians 2, I'm going to read verses 13 through 15 for us and then tell you why I think this is helpful, particularly for a testimony. So this is Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. So the lens to think about your testimony, or one way to think about it, is how has Jesus Christ taken your shame, taken your guilt? So before you met him, and then when you meet him, how did Jesus take your shame and your guilt? So in your testimony, the hero's Jesus, it's not you, and he's the hero because only in Jesus Christ is the forgiveness of sins. And how does he take your guilt and your shame? And then how does God the Father view you now through Christ? So those, I don't want that to sound like just hyper-spiritual theological language, but thinking of forgiveness of sins, guilt, and shame, whether you're in a guilt-driven culture, shame-driven culture, either way, a way to effectively see how God's worked in your own life. And it's an effective way of communicating your testimony to someone, no matter what type of cultural or presuppositions they may have, guilt and shame, and how that works out in your testimony. Other things you'd emphasize, Jordan?
Yeah, I just think when sharing our testimony, when we share it with Christians, I feel like sometimes this is the part of the testimony that we can kind of gloss over of like that, you know, that's when I decided to ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins or whatever. if you're sharing this with someone who's not a believer, this is where you really get the gospel in there. And a lot of times, the most effective way we can communicate the gospel is through our own stories. They might have issues of trusting the Bible for some reason, or how do I know Jesus was actually God? But it's hard for people to deny your own story of what's happened in your life. And so I think, you know, sometimes the context of where you're sharing, maybe this part you wouldn't get as much into, although it's obviously the most important part. But yeah, really, I hope we just think of this as a key evangelistic opportunity that you can say why Christ had to die on the cross for your sins and what his resurrection meant. That's, you know, you believed that, that is the gospel. And so say it as you're sharing your story. Amen, man. Yeah.
I love that you're just clearly calling that. I'm with you. I don't know what that is. It's like it's glossed over. That's mm-hmm. a part of the conversation. Honestly, like there's spiritual dynamics in play that make you want to like mute that or move beyond it. But that's the highlight of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing I'd encourage people, and again, whether you've never shared your testimony, you've done it a lot of times, is exactly what you said, is like double click on that.
Yeah.
What did God do? How does that work? And then God gets all the glory when you share that. And then think about, there's the difference between just writing out your testimony for your own like reflection and just devotional life and praise to God, and then getting ready to actually like say it out loud. Because when you say your testimony out loud, you don't control the outcome.
Right.
You're faithful to give God glory.
Yes.
But you are seeking to communicate it in such a way. Evangelism is proclaiming the gospel with the aim to persuade. So how you communicate it, you're trying to persuade that person in true ways that Jesus is as awesome as you're saying he is. And so that piece of it, of what the gospel is, think about how you're communicating it. Do you sound bored when you're talking about the king of the universe saved you from your sins? Like, I just think that's the part we all have an opportunity to grow
in. For sure.
So, yeah. And then make sure when you are writing your testimony or share it, again, kind of like close it up, wrap it up. It'd be a great opportunity to share a verse or two that maybe you've even memorized, so that you're using, you know, God's words doing the work, not yours, of who Christ is and what he's done for you. So that'd be something to work on if someone's going to share their testimony.
I think that's good.
Yep. And then, so we have before you met Christ, how you met Christ, or when you met him. Again, there's so much that could be said. And then also, I think a key part of a testimony is then, okay, what has your life been like since you met Christ? And especially for those of us like you and I, who God saved us at a younger age, man, I'm growing in the gospel all the time. And so you want to be able to communicate what that has looked like in your life as you're being formed into the image of Christ. So some key things to call out, like what have you seen change in your life? What feedback have you received from others about a new type of person you are? Maybe your attitude, your speech, your posture, the things you value, the things you love. What did those changes look like? How long did those take? What the role is of abiding in Christ in your life? So what does it mean as a Christ follower that I'm seeking to abide in Christ through his word, through his people, through prayer? So that's good in your testimony to kind of call those things out. You're painting a picture for someone. What does it mean to come to trust and follow Jesus Christ? And then also, what does it mean to treasure him in how you're living? So I feel like sometimes a testimony is like a quick like advertisement, and then and then you just end up at the same place. Like, yeah, but we're all the same. Yeah, we are in some ways, and we're not. And
right.
So to talk about how Christ's work in your life plays itself out is important to maybe think about in your relationships, in your work life. And it's good to kind of weave that into your, into your testimony.
That's good.
Any thoughts you have on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, who you're talking to based off of, if you've talked to them before, like if this is a neighbor or something you're not that close with and you're trying to invite them to church, maybe part of what your life is like now is how being in a church community has been such a benefit to you. And you know, you find your most joy getting to worship alongside believers on Sundays as a way to invite them. I often depending on how long I have to share, I might have a story or two that is an example of how my faith has helped me make it through a situation, whether it be feeling a call to ministry in high school, dealing with severe depression and flunking out of college, or being angry at God when my grandfather passed away and seeing how God used that for good. So maybe having a couple examples in your own life where you've seen your faith in practice, that's also not downplaying the fact that there's still difficulties as life as a Christian, that this is not the cure-all for everything, but how your faith has helped you persevere and grow and lean and trust on Him, give you hope in situations where others may not find it. So, a lot of that's going to depend on who you're talking to, how it came up in conversation. But if you kind of already have some of those things plotted in your mind ahead of time, you can be pretty adaptive based on how a conversation's going to know what to include that. Love or that. Maybe they'll ask you a follow-up question about something. So be ready to go to put into easy to understand ways of how your faith makes a real impact on your life. That's not just a decision you made and walked away.
Jordan, I love hearing you even right now, just talking that through, like, I don't know why this is, but I still think there's this misconception of your testimony is like having note cards, like you're giving a book report in front of class.
Yeah.
Man, maybe it could be, but most of the time it's in a more relational setting.
Yeah.
Maybe you're in the business world like I used to be, and you have an after hours happy hour event, and three people are hanging out and they ask you a question that's basically, hey, tell me a reason for the hope that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And so most of the time, it's not like a huge presentation with slides.
Right.
So you have to be adaptive.
No, you should always have a projector and laptop with you wherever you go, ready to give a reason.
So I love your heart, man, that it should be flexible and loving and caring based on your context. And I think a key part of this, like maybe this is me just being too like intentional guy, but when you take time to like prayerfully reflect on your own testimony, you're rehearsing the gospel to yourself. Mm-hmm. It's formative, and then it can't help like at the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Then you're more ready having it on the tip of your tongue because it's on the tip of your heart that you want to share it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're flexible in the moment.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, it's not something that should feel overly awkward.
No. Yeah. It's your story. Like I'm saying, it's God's story in your life, but it's your life. You should know that story pretty well.
Amen.
Yeah.
Totally. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It shouldn't feel like a salesman knocking on your door.
Yes. Right? I hope not. Yes. Unless you're a salesman, then maybe it'll sound like a salesman.
Yeah, that's awesome. Some other things. Again, if you've never taken the time to write out your testimony before, man, I'd encourage you to. I promise someone won't regret it. You want to make it clear and concise. So less is more idea. Mm-hmm. Probably you want to be able to share it in 2 to 4 or 5 minutes. Picture yourself on a plane. Someone turns to you, Jordan, tell me the reason for the hope that you have. And boom. I don't know if that'll ever happen or not, but if it does, you're ready to share your testimony. Again, adapting it in the moment. Again, like I said earlier, I think it's really important to include at least one or two scriptures in your testimony, right? Because it's not just like what you think. It's who God is and what He's done, grounding it in His word. And then if you know, you came to know the Lord at a younger time, most of like the weight of your testimony is going to be on that third phase.
Yep, absolutely.
After you met Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just be aware of your story and focus on that there. And then I'd encourage people, like, be ready. If you are taking the time to write your testimony and you're doing it prayerfully, I would encourage you to pray for an opportunity to share it. And I think you'll be surprised at how the Lord honors that.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? And so I'd encourage you as you're writing it, maybe you've shared it again for 100th time, like talk to other Christians about it. Hey, I'm thinking about my testimony more. I want to adjust it a little bit. Or I realize I haven't shared the gospel in a while. Could you pray for an opportunity for me to do that? And then as the Lord answers that prayer, share it with other Christians. And that helps to like seed the clouds in the life of our church that this is like, it's aspirational, yes, but it's more normative. Like we're Christians. We want to talk about Jesus.
That's right.
So yeah. Other advice you'd give on writing or sharing your testimony?
Yeah. I mean, if this is a non-Christian you're talking with, you can ask them, what do you think of that story? Yes. Of don't just say it and then be like, oh, okay, I did it. I shared my testimony. Like, totally. Look for some follow-up there of, you know, what do you think about that? Or what's your, do you have any faith background or church background? Of try to engage in a dialogue. Don't just check it off the list that you did it. Yeah. If you're sharing with another believer who you're getting to know, I hope you also would want to hear their story as well. It's really encouraging to hear how God's at work in multiple people's lives. So, yeah, I think that'd be the only thing I would add, but yeah. I hope this is a helpful resource for people.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know, I'm sure your experience has been in community groups too. It's cool to hear different
people share
their testimony.
Yeah.
And there's no like exact way to do it. And everybody's personality comes out and their life story. I think it's so helpful mm-hmm. to hear others share their testimony, to give it. And then hopefully it just primes a pump for us to be sharing our testimonies with non-believers mm-hmm. too. So yeah. If anyone has questions on, hey, I've never shared my testimony, I'd like to, maybe you want to grow in it. I guess I shouldn't share the person's name, but a dear friend in our community group just changed how he's sharing his testimony. Oh. Kind of thought through his life more and like, you know what? I'm going to share it more along these lines. It was really cool to hear him share it in our community group, even though I've heard him share his testimony a few different times before. So it's something you're always kind of thinking about. In your life, and you can do it a myriad of different ways.
Yeah.
And we have a ton of good resources. If you're in a community group, talk to your community group leader, talk to me, talk to any of the elders, talk to Jordan. There's a bunch of good resources we'd love to equip you with just to grow in sharing who Jesus is through our life. It's something I'm feeling more and more compelled about. That in the life of our church, this is something we need to be growing in,
yeah.
advancing the gospel through our words and our actions and just making our whole lives about how awesome Jesus is. So, yeah.
Cool. Agree.
Anything else come to mind?
I think this is good. Right.
The knocking stopped.
It stopped, yeah.
Yeah, so that's good. That's a sign we should wrap this up. All right. Hope this has been helpful. Would welcome further discussion on how to prepare your testimony, how to share your testimony. If you maybe over these last few weeks got answered a prayer and you had a chance to share your testimony with a non-Christian friend, man, I'd love to hear about that and pray about that with you. Want to be growing in these things as a church. So hopefully the conversation's been helpful and realized I've not given a shout out in a while to our friends at Humble Beast. So thank you, Humble Beast, for the great music we're able to use on the podcast. All right, Gresham Bible Church, love you. Until next time.